All right, ladies and gents, we're back. Episode 176.
Nope.
I think we're 180, right?
Yeah, we're 181. Yeah.
180. I mean,
not bad. Brian, you're off by a month and a half, dude.
They piped that the wrong way.
I'll call the clubhouse. We'll book another 18 for tomorrow.
Okay, they cheated on that. They fluffed their balls.
Yeah, no better time for the breakfast ball than now.
181 is today?
Yeah.
Okay, I mean,
it's 181?
Yeah.
I thought it was 180.
181. Five episodes.
That was about a month and a half.
Month and
month
some
and
change.
A week.
I guess depending on which month, February, fuck, is a leap year this year.
Yeah, leap year.
So
yeah.
We've got 181 episodes of the Double Bogey Show. And this is the third one presented to you by Nicolay Law.
Hell yeah. So I'm actually really looking forward to having Russell call into the pod and be able to ask the questions that we want to ask.
I think we should have him in person.
Okay, even better.
This summer we'll bring him in person, then we'll play golf with him, see if lawyers are any good at golf.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like real estate agents and lawyers, I would say, are both like, they're classic businesses, right? Like business guys.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And everybody knows all business is done on the golf course.
Exactly.
So
I mean, we learned that this week with Tiger meeting up with the founder or president of the PIF.
Yeah.
They're playing golf and talking business about the merger between PGA and LIV. So like,
do you think that's going to be kind of contentious?
I don't know.
But before we get into it, I mean, there's no better place to hit a house on the golf course than when you're golfing with your lawyer.
For sure. For sure.
And it's also kind of sweet that we can just say, like, we have a lawyer now.
Well, and now
yeah,
it's like,
true, yeah.
Let me call my lawyer.
Yeah. Now it's not like, you know, my dad's a lawyer. It's like
my dad,
the buddy, our buddy in our group over there is a lawyer.
Yeah.
So we can just throw that on anybody.
Do you know who my golfing partner is?
Yeah. Yeah. Hell yeah. But no, Nicolay Law.
Nicolay
Law. If you haven't
Law.
Seen the bald head with the big beard,
you've seen it. If you're in the Midwest, you've seen I think I asked him, we were doing some You Betcha stuff with him. And I think there's like 300, it bounces around between like 300 to 400 billboards at any time across the
That's
Midwest.
Wild.
So you've seen this, the bald headed dude with the big beard and the sunglasses on with like the pine trees reflecting in the sunglasses. That's Nicolay Law. So he's like a Midwest company. I think it started in Wisconsin.
Yep.
It's him and his brothers all started it. So it's a family affair. And you can't get away from them, just like your family, because there's billboards everywhere.
Everywhere. What are the odds that we could maybe get on a billboard with him?
I don't know, dude. We'd have to really give him a lot of gimmies and a lot of mulligans when we play with him. Maybe we'll have a chance.
We can butter him up a little bit. I can make someone have a really good time on the golf course.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially if I'm on the scorecard. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, hey.
Wait, what'd you get there? Six? Oh, well, yeah, you would have made that putt if you focused. I'll give you a five.
We'll give you a four. I'll give you a four if you can maybe put this scorecard in my face on a billboard. Nicolay Law.com if you're injured. And if anything else happens, you can call them. They'll let you know if they can help you.
Golf cart in a water hazard could be injured. Golf ball to the head could be injured.
Could be, for sure.
Give Russell a call.
Actually, I told you guys a story about me golfing with that guy, and he almost hit me because he shanked the ball. I was like 60 yards directly to his right from this guy, and he shanked the ball, and it hit the bag standing next to me in the golf cart.
Yikes.
Should have called Russ.
Emotional injury.
Yeah.
Speaking of all that, did you guys see the video of Max Homa?
Did that hit someone in the fucking forehead?
No. I saw another angle of it.
Yeah.
It hit a tree almost directly behind the guy who was filming.
Yes. Okay. I saw that on Reddit.
Because the fucking thwap sounded like flesh, not a tree.
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, there's another question. Like, hey, do you, obviously, like when you buy tickets, I'm sure you sign off on something of that sort.
Yeah, but like there's got to be someone liable, right? Is it the course? Is it Max Homa? Is it the patron for standing too close? Because it did look like he was standing directly in Max Homa's line.
Is it the security company who is like their job is to make sure people are in the right position to not get hurt? I don't know. A lot of burning questions that we're going to expose soon. So today's episode, guys, full swing, episode 3 and 4. I went back and watched episode 3, which is, I mean, the fan favorite. It's Joel Damon.
Yeah.
It's Wyndham Clark, who I now think is another fan favorite, especially after this last weekend at the Players' Championship.
I thought it was hilarious. So Wyndham Clark's whole thing was like getting mentally strong, right? And controlling his emotions and controlling what you can control. And then I saw basically a St. Paddy's Day like luck post put out by the players. And Wyndham Clark is getting interviewed on it. He's an absolute head case when it comes to superstitions on the golf course.
Oh, big time.
Yeah. Like he's like same meal. I have to iron my clothes. Doesn't matter if I have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, I have to iron my clothes before I go on golf. It's like all this work, like it's obviously working for him. The dude's on a fucking tear. All this work to get him mentally strong. And he's like, if I don't iron my fucking shirt before I play, I will collapse.
Did you have that makes sense though. Like why he needed the golf therapy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you have any superstitions when it came to wrestling?
I was weird. I did have some superstitions, but my thing, I dressed down as much as possible so people would think I sucked.
Interesting.
I tried to make myself look like an idiot. I purposely bought cheap, like entry-level shoes. I wore dumb headgear because I wanted people that didn't know me to think I was going to be really bad. It was like my first year in wrestling.
Wow, the wrestling version of pool hustling.
I mean, like no one was putting money on high school wrestling, I don't think. But if they were, I hustled some people.
I'm sure your dad was.
If he was betting on me, is that like insider? Like
kind of, yeah. Dad had to have been betting on you. You guys heard the Zach Bryan song? Was it called like Nine Ball Pool or Nine Ball something like that?
I don't know.
His dad's betting on him when he's like 10 years old, playing pool against these other guys, just knowing he's gonna win. I feel like when I was younger, I think this is like the first year of high school baseball. I had heard of all the superstitions that the major leaguers had.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, like, well, I think I need to be superstitious now because that's what's going to make me good, you know? So, like, I think before, like, my first high school varsity baseball game, I think I slept with my bat.
Really?
And I think I probably went fucking 0 for 4 the next game.
So then you never slept with your bat again.
So I never slept with my bat again. But I never really had any crazy superstitions. I should have had the superstition of like not drinking Mountain Dew before a game because it just like bogged my legs down.
That's just not good for any sport.
No. No. Dude, we would stop.
Unless you're John Daly.
We would stop at a gas station before a game and I would get, you know, the trolley, those trolley like gummy sour worm eggs.
Oh, yeah.
The eggs were phenomenal. I would get a bag of those and
The eggs are just the unstretched version of the worm.
Correct. Yeah. I would get those and I'd get a Mountain Dew or like a Sobe. One of those like Arnold Palmer or something. Eat and drink that
the 99-cent giant can.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck was I doing?
I would like to go on the record and say that Sobeys were ass.
Except the pink one. The pink one is solid.
The weird milky consistency of a Sobe makes me want to throw up. It's like having a loogie in your mouth.
Yeah, it was gross. And
they were huge. Everyone loved them. I did not.
Their lizard logo that they had.
Yeah, there's nothing more late 90s, early 2000s than Sobe logo.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. They just kind of dropped off. They didn't really accommodate to the times. But I also saw that clip and the superstitions in golf are wild.
Yeah.
Especially at the professional level.
I have to have my divot fixer and my ball marker in the same pocket every time, but that's more of like a comfort thing.
Sure. Okay.
Like I will switch out a ball. I'll blame the ball if I'm playing bad. Like, yep. All right, get some new juju.
Yep.
Fuck, dude. I mean, we've talked golf superstitions before, and I've kind of gone away from a lot of them.
Same.
But the PGA guys are fucking head cases, according to that post.
The only thought I have is, and it's not even a superstition, it's just a thought. It's just what happens before a round. But if I have a bad, and it's kind of the same in baseball. If I had like a bad bullpen session or a bad BP session, or in this case, a bad range session, I was probably going to have, I'm like, fuck yeah, that's actually good news. Cause I normally play better when I have a bad range session.
Mm. Yeah.
I play better on the course.
That's how I feel too. Yeah.
So I don't know. And then if I'm striping them on the range, I'm like, this is not going to go good. This is going to go really bad for me on the course.
Yeah.
The whole like sports psychology like concept with professional athletes, that's what episode 3 kind of revolved around.
Yeah. And when I saw that it was a Joel Damon episode, I expected the season one full swing, lighthearted, fun. Like, look at these relatable, goofy guys. And wow, did we not get that?
What a turn.
But I still, it's my favorite episode so far, because I think sports psychology is one of the most interesting things I've ever seen. And I totally understand Joel Damon's pushback on it, because I would push back on that, any sort of psychology therapy.
For sure.
I would push back on all of it. So I totally understand that. I thought it's still my favorite episode so far.
Yeah, the scenes where Wyndham and Julie are working together during that practice round, and the questions that Julie is asking him while they're doing, I think one of the questions she asked was, "So when you set up for a birdie putt, how nervous do you feel? And where did you feel 6 months ago?" Is what she was trying to ask.
What's what's your level of nervousness over a birdie putt?
Yeah, she also asked it in the question of 6 months ago versus now, like trying to gauge where his own thoughts on his game are changing and all that stuff. I think that's interesting because
keep going.
Sorry. Yeah, I was gonna say just because I feel like that. Like I even feel like within my own game that 6 months I have a change in how I feel in certain situations, and I golf way less than these dudes do.
The thing that I liked from her the most is as they're walking down the fairway and stuff, the question she's asking could to the random observer would seem like regular golf questions.
Yeah.
But they were all to get something out of Wyndham Clark and figure out what direction to push him in and just get in his headspace and try to diagnose and help correct the negative thoughts he's having. And it's just simple conversation. I just think therapists are wild. The things they've been.
Especially the good ones.
Yes.
Especially the good ones.
The bad ones, fuck them. I think bad therapists do way more harm than good, in my opinion.
I was going to say, I think it can put you in worse of a headspace than you already are. That's the whole, that's why Joel Damon is so apprehensive to talk to somebody like this or anything along that line.
It was eerie because Joel Damon and I have the exact same reasons for hating therapists.
Yeah.
When it was his dad that died, right?
Who? Joel Damon?
His mom.
Yeah. So when his mom died, they sent it to a therapist that was bullshit. When my mom died, they sent me to a therapist that was bullshit. Just made me feel way worse. And same thing for him. So it's like, why would you trust him?
It's like he was like the guy tried to tell me how I was feeling and it's just not how I was feeling. So how am I supposed to get anything good out of this?
No, it sent me straight back to the fucking chair with Eric. Eric was the name of my therapist. He was a fucking hack.
Oof. Yeah. And I've never been to therapy. I don't know. I feel like some days I probably could use some therapy, but that right there is like, well, what if I get a bad one?
Right.
Then what do I do?
Well, I think the thing that, they work for you, you can fire them.
Yeah.
It's like an employee that doesn't do their fucking job.
Yep.
You can fire them and get one that does.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of my thought around it anyway.
Yeah. Do you remember when this was years ago, Tyler, when we had Travis Fulton on the podcast?
I do.
I don't know if you're...
That was episode 5.
Yeah. I don't know if you know where I'm going with this, but we were talking to him about other professional athletes in other sports or celebrities being able to compete on tour, whether that's Tony Romo or John Smoltz, who's a really solid golfer.
Yeah.
Would they be able to make the tour and compete? And when he said, to sum up his answer, he pretty much said no.
He said absolutely not.
These guys are on a whole different level. And he used Wyndham Clark as an example, because I think at that time, Wyndham Clark was really, really low in the rankings, world number, I don't know, let's just say 500 or whatever. And he's the Tony Romo or John Smoltz, they wouldn't even be able to step on the same course as a Wyndham Clark or somebody else. So he referred to him in that sense, this was years
ago, like the low level PGA player.
Correct. Yeah. As a low level PGA player. And now, even last weekend, we were millimeters away from going into playoff golf between Wyndham Clark and Scottie Scheffler for the Players Championship.
And Wyndham Clark played the best tournament Scottie Scheffler played the best round.
The best Sunday.
Oh my God, he was on fucking fire. And he was hurt.
It was unbelievable. The broadcast and the commentary. We could have played a drinking game for every time that they mentioned, you know, Scotty's neck strain or whatever it was.
Every swing.
I wouldn't have even been able to finish the rest of the round.
You'd have been able to finish a couple cases.
I think when he got interviewed after, they said he was like 9 under with 21 holes to go.
Mm-hmm.
And he finished the last 21 holes at 11 under.
Yeah.
To finish 20 under for the tournament.
It's crazy.
Just insane.
Fucking fear the beard. Forget James Harden. Scottie Scheffler with the beard is hot right now.
Yep. And I think what he grew, he just said he forgot to shave it. Didn't have time or something. Something wild.
Definitely makes the guy that we thought was already 30 years old look 45.
Correct. In terms of Joel Damon on episode 3, it was obviously like it was a completely different aura around him
this
season than in season 1. And I remember when we recapped his episode on season 1, I was like, I wish Joel Damon would just care more. Like, and if he just cared more, he'd be sick. Even if he was top 30.
Did you see his interview where they said, what did Netflix get wrong? And he's like, the main thing they got wrong is that I don't care about winning. I do. I want to win.
Interesting.
So okay. I think that was an editing thing. So like, he did go out and say, he's like, somebody's got to be the 70th best golfer in the world. But I think they just tried to make it look more like he just, I don't care. Because that was the one thing he said that Netflix got the most wrong. He's like, I do want to win tournaments.
He wants to win, but he doesn't. I feel like there are times he doesn't want to put the work in to go and win a tournament. Like after after he finished 60th, he made like 55 or 60 grand in a tournament, the US Open maybe.
Yeah.
Bones asked him, or Bones is Gino's nickname, right?
No, Bones is Tiger's.
Okay, sorry.
Caddy's nickname.
Gino. Gino's like a...
His last name is Benali. Yeah. Okay. So maybe he does have Bones as a nickname.
He's like, you want to go hit some balls? And Joel Damon's like, yeah, I would love nothing more. No, I don't want to go hit balls.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, we got to get better. He's like, I've already played the amount of scheduled golf that I'm here to play today. And Gino's like, what the fuck?
Gino, dude. Gino is going through it in that episode.
And I get it, because you don't see the player and caddy connect. They have the best player caddy connection the golf world has ever seen.
Yeah, because they're just actually best friends.
Correct. And I think that's a kind of a dangerous place to be.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, they highlight obviously that like Gino and Joel, obviously they clearly have two different goals for what they want. Yeah. Right. And like Gino has different expectations. The problem is that Gino has expectations for Joel's golf game that are different than what Joel's are for his own game. Right. Like, and also Gino has expectations for what Joel does when he's not competing.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I feel bad for Gino because he desperately wants Joel to put in that extra little bit.
Well, it's like watching your friend throw all their gifts away. It's like they're truly friends. It's not like it's not a client boss relationship with those two, like it is with most caddies and golfers. It's his friend throwing potential away, not his boss throwing potential away. Gino's never going to bounce around golfers trying to find somebody else to caddy for.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it would suck to be in Gino's shoes. I mean, it would suck to be in Gino's shoes as a friend. And it also sucks to be in Gino's shoes as a caddy to hear, like, I'm comfortable where I'm. Or not that Joel is comfortable with where he's at, but like at least knowing that he's not making the moves.
But
to
any other caddy could quit and be like, I'm going to go find a different golfer, man. It's just not working out. Gino can't do that or wouldn't.
Yeah. His wife is ruthless.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she just is like, I love it because she just says it how it is. She's pretty much speaking Gino's, the words in his head, into existence.
Yeah, I thought it was funny that they're just like, they panned over to her and that they're just doing interviews in his living room and she's right fucking there.
She's just chilling, like feet, like sitting on one chair, feet up on another, just like, you know, doesn't like no cares in the world, right?
Also, the one thing I thought about too during that episode is they showed that the clip from season 1 where he's like, somebody's got to be the 70th best golfer in the world, and then they show that he's 172 now, right? Or at the time of recording, he's 172. That's still really good.
Yeah.
If you think about it, like we sit here and we talk about like, yeah, Wyndham Clark was in the 500th rank. That's so good.
Even, even in the coming episodes with Matt Fitzpatrick and his brother is like the number 700 golfer in the world.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah. That's the top 1,000 golfers on the planet.
Yes.
There's so many golfers.
Yes.
Regardless, obviously our boy Joel took some advice and he's been working hard because I think he finished tied 10th.
He just made
at the players.
He just made like 620 grand. Uh-huh. Which so whatever, that like, I mean, you take away all the sponsorships. That's your only, let's say that's your only income for the entire year. That's a lot of money.
Oh yeah.
And I don't feel like Joel Damon's not going to, he's not going to live up to his means.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's making, you know, $3-4 million a year, he's
especially
not gonna,
if he won't hire a fucking pool boy.
Correct. Yeah. He's he's sweeping his own pool.
He's gone 5 days a week for golf tournaments and he's still sweeping his pool.
He's probably swam in that pool 2 times.
Yeah.
But yeah, it definitely was like it was a different vibe to this episode. And obviously the breaking point was also they're flying PJs. Like yeah. Joel and Gino, they're still flying private. It's mm-hmm. like things are,
they're not as bad as you're making it sound.
Correct.
Joel.
Yeah. It's not like he's like,
it could have been in a Netflix dry. Jet though.
That could have been
the jet flicks.
But the conversation on the private jet where, I mean, they like a guy like Joel Damon just doesn't cry. He's numb. I feel like with the passing of his mom, he's just like numb to a lot of stuff now.
Yeah.
And he doesn't get it he doesn't get emotional in that sense towards really anything. That's just my view on it. But that conversation, I think, was probably a tipping point.
Yeah.
Because, hey, Gino is, I got to go find another golfer. Mm-hmm. If you don't start taking this seriously, like I have to make money. I have a family to support. I can't just bank on you not caring and taking this. You know, we're friends, so I'll stay with you. It's just like,
yeah,
you get to a point where you just got to do what's best for yourself. And that was a conversation that kind of set it off.
Well, then episode 4 on the flip side, Tom Kim, what a ray of sunshine.
Also, sorry, just to end episode 3, Wyndham Clark winning the U.S. Open.
Oh, yeah. The other guy in the episode.
A fucking magical moment. Mm-hmm. As much as people wanted Ricky to win, you don't like, unless it's on the Netflix documentary, you don't know everything that is going on with some of these players, like behind the scenes or like in their life or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So now after that has come out, I was like, I'm a big win. I love mm-hmm. Wyndham Clark now.
Yeah, he's the hero of the season so far.
Big time.
Yep. Until episode 4, now I'm a Tom Kim guy.
And not like Tom Kim is like, he's like your little brother almost.
Yeah,
he's a little brother on tour.
Until he rolled his fucking ankle in the parking lot or whatever. And then he's like, oh, whatever. I'll just still get second on a broken ankle.
I love how...
At St. Andrews.
St. Andrews, the longest course they play all year.
Doctor's like grade 3 tear. It's like, okay, I guess we just have to wrap it up. And who knows? Maybe like, again, they said like mentally, you're going to be thinking about the ankle versus
mm-hmm.
everything going through your head for a golf shot. So, I mean, that probably helped a lot when that happened.
Yeah. I mean, maybe I should just fuck my foot up every time I golf.
Or like, yeah, just like
Ryan, hey, this is a really important shot. You just stomp on my foot really hard quick.
Or like, hey, just take a wedge to my kidney right now.
Punch me in the fucking balls, please. I need a good shot here.
Yeah, let's see your best dead leg. Give me your best dead leg that you got.
You just got a bulging gimper in your leg.
Yeah, or okay, I'm going to put my foot in front of the cart tire and I want you to go forward and then back and then forward again and I'll hop it on the other side.
And then if I don't clear the water on the shot, I'm going to lay my head down and I want you back over that.
Do you think it would hurt to get your foot run over by a golf cart?
I don't think it would be that bad, to be honest.
I don't either.
You guys want to try it? I'll do it.
Grandpa Dave has a golf cart. We can run over to his house quick.
Okay. Well, yeah, we'll leave the bags off and we'll just have one person in there just to like minimize the weight a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't think it would hurt.
I'll try.
People run each other over with golf carts.
Yeah, that is true.
Oh, yeah.
Such a terrible trend, by the way. Yeah. Don't do that.
Tom Kim.
Yeah, Tom Kim.
Tom Kim, good guy. Big fan.
20?
One thing. Yeah, he's 20 years old.
He can't even drink.
No, he can't have a beer. He's
probably 21 now, huh?
Yeah, he probably is now.
Yeah, he's got to be 21.
One thing that I did not know about Tom Kim. So you hear about him and all that stuff. I didn't really realize that even the, what would you call him? The experts are projecting him to be the next fucking guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Look, it's a Netflix documentary. They could have just collected just enough vocal snippets to really push that point home that mm-hmm. he's the next guy. But
We've been hearing that for years, though. Morikawa is going to be the next guy.
Scotty
is the only one kind of living up to it right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was Cam Smith for a little bit.
And it's all these young guys, too, right? Because Tiger started his tear at 19 years old.
Right, and that's when Morikawa started his as well. And yep. He was like world number two when he was 19.
Yep. Tom Kim, same thing, 20 years old.
Spieth and JT both have had it said about them.
Yeah. But like, as a 20, like, did he even go to college?
Mm-mm. I don't think so, because he was playing in Korea.
Okay. So as a 20-year-old, and I've been thinking about this a lot as I've watched season two, I might have mentioned it last week, but I wonder if there's like post Full Swing, like how does Tom Kim perform?
Yeah, I haven't been checking really.
Now, like, because now with all like the publicity and the popularity, and it's kind of the same as the Joel Damon situation. Not a lot of people knew who he was before Full Swing season one.
I had heard of him though. Like I knew that he
was a young
guy that was really good. That's all I knew about Tom Kim. I think it was because of the Open. Like,
yes,
that's why I knew who Tom Kim was. It's like this 20-year-old is running around on a broken ankle, damn near winning the tournament.
Yes.
And I think that's how I knew who Tom Kim was going into it.
Yeah. And I wonder, I can't even imagine at 20 years old, if I was put into that position, what would have been running through my head?
Oh,
like, he doesn't have time to hang out with his buddies and like be a normal 20-year-old. It's like he's just catapulted into someone who should be doing this in their late 20s, early 30s, whatever.
Right.
And now you're putting that on someone whose like brain hasn't even fully developed.
I know. He's got a camera on him and he's in the locker room on his phone and he's telling the camera gal like, hey, any female fans hit me up. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, that's exactly what I would have done if I was 20 and on a TV show.
I thought it was great though, like how much of a goofball and like him trying to get the approval of the other guys in the locker room. And then when it came time to golf, it was fucking, we're going now.
He's just a demon.
Yeah. Or even in the practice rounds. Yeah. Like, I'm sure they're like kind of, they're joking around, bossing around a little bit, like little brother-esque type of stuff. And there's a switch that can mm-hmm. be flipped.
Yeah, I mean, they even mentioned it in the show. They're like, with all these older guys, with Tom Kim being so new on the scene, that they're playing rounds with him and kind of poking and prodding, trying to figure out what makes him tick in a way that they can compete with him. You know what mm-hmm. I mean?
That's his whole goal, is like, I don't really want to be that person anymore. I don't want to be the little brother. I want to show up and prove that I can play against Rory McIlroy's, Scotty Scheffler's, and that type of player, and not be that little brother anymore.
That's one of my favorite things about professional athletes, is that flipping of the switch from interview mode to from dad mode to athlete mode.
Yep.
And they just fucking dial in, and it's cool to see.
And I feel like that's something that Joel Damon lacks, because he, just from my perspective, he's a jokester.
Oh yeah, he brings life onto the course,
big time,
for sure.
But I also think you need that. Like, he's not doing that just to gain a following or like be entertaining on TV.
No,
like, that's who he is as a person, you know. And like Tom Kim, you know, I guarantee he would be eating McDonald's 4 or 5 times a week if he could. He's a kid. He's 20. Also, look at the fucking house that he's living in at 20 years old.
Yeah.
It was a pretty nice house.
The guy's making millions. Yeah.
Also, his real name is Kim Joo-hyung. And when he chose a name, a more Americanized name or mm-hmm. whatever, he chose Tom because of Thomas the Tank Engine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thomas, like, Thomas
fucking hilarious.
Train. Yeah, or yeah, Thomas
Thomas the tank engine.
Yeah, Tank Engine is his full name, I guess.
Oh, it is.
Thomas the Tank Engine is the train.
Yeah.
So the show is called Thomas the Train, isn't it?
No, it's
Tank Engine.
Yeah.
Man, what the fuck am I thinking about?
No, you're thinking of the same thing. You just got the name wrong.
Yeah, the big blue train with the face train.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I always thought it was Thomas the Train.
Well, yeah.
He is a train, but
I know that.
The type of train is Tank Engine.
So what's the show called?
Thomas the Tank Engine.
Where's my childhood been?
I don't know.
I mean, it makes sense because you watched that show as a kid before you could read. And you're like, it's Thomas the Train. So that's probably just burn that.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, that's what it was.
It's a train named Thomas. So I'm going to call it Thomas the Train until I'm 30.
Okay. We're straight. We're straight.
Yeah. But yeah, anyways, I just love that fact. I think that's a lot.
Yeah. And he's got the big ass one in his house, the big train.
Yeah. I mean, it takes up, I think it's underneath the staircase.
Yeah.
It takes up the entire, like, usually that would be like a storage area or whatever. It was closed off, but yeah, it's front and center right there.
Right there.
Thomas
there
the Tank Engine.
He's got a tank engine underneath the stairs.
I also like when he was in the car, they were filming him in the car and his mom called and he declined it. Yeah. Did you guys see that? They asked him like, do you talk to your mom or whatever? He's like, I think he said like 4 or 5 times a week. And that one, decline.
Yeah, he's like, I can't talk to you right now, Mom. Netflix is with me.
Yeah. Mom. Yeah, it's like, Thomas, you're still like my 20-year-old kid. I'm sure also his parents have had they've had a hell of a time like adjusting to this new lifestyle, right?
Yeah.
They obviously probably like, if you dive deep into the golf world, Tom Kim's probably been a name in like the junior, like amateurs, juniors, that type of thing for a long time. So I'm sure they've been able to like weasel their way in there a little bit. But PGA Tour, next Tiger Woods, cameras everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like as a mom and dad, that'd be fucking wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The like, he's probably one of the few golfers who like still has to deal with all of the parental issues of being 20 years old. Like
here's a good example. It's because what I know best, UFC, Raul Rosas.
Okay. We know him.
He's the youngest UFC fighter ever. He had his UFC debut at
13,
at 18 years old. And his fight 2 weekends ago got canceled because of an injury. So they scheduled the fight for the next weekend, which it then got canceled again. And the reports that came out said that his dad would not let him fight because he still lived under his roof and he was not following his mom and dad's rules in terms of doing your chores and doing all this kind of stuff. He comes from a Mexican family who like very hard workers. And you pretty much like respect your mom and dad if you're going to live under my roof.
Yeah.
So the reports are that his fight, like his dad wouldn't let him fight because he still lives under his roof and wasn't following
his
rules.
That is funny.
This dad's got some fucking balls.
Oh, and people are like, this is fucking awesome.
Like, I like it.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, think about 18-year-old UFC prodigy getting scolded by dad. And
you love to see it though.
Yeah, I do. I do. But then he could kick the shit out of his dad.
Probably.
I mean, there's no probably about it. Can beat the shit out of his dad for sure. And he's like, yes, sir. I will do my chores. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Can you call Dana White for me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it made me think about a situation like that.
I was thinking more like Sean White in the interview. And he's like, yeah, they were giving me drinks on the plane. Drinks? You're only 19.
I'm
talking Mountain Dews.
Like Sean White, the snowboarder?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd never
he
heard
won Olympic gold. And then he was in an interview. They're like, so what was the reception like when you won your gold medal? And he's like, yeah, I was on the plane. Everyone was giving me food and drinks. It was awesome. She's like, drinks, but you're only 19. And he goes, I'm talking Mountain Dews, baby.
Hell yeah.
This fucking little snowboarder voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
All right. Should we move on to the next segment? Take a quick break. And we're going to bring you guys probably one of my favorite, if not the favorite, YBR segment of all time.
Yeah.
Things that make guys say, hell yeah. But the golf edition.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Okay, we're back.
Hell yeah.
I got a whole list of things, guys. It just started pouring out of me.
This is probably one of the easier segments. It breeds us.
It's so fun too.
Because when you think about it, it's like, oh, what are your biggest superstitions of golf? Or like, what makes you cringe in golf? What makes you say hell yeah
on the
golf
dude.
Course is right up our alley.
Mm-hmm. We say hell yeah a lot, unironically.
Unironically. And it's even like, if someone's telling you a story that you really don't care about, you're just kind of like, hell yeah. There's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because that, oh, hell yeah. That is much different than hell yeah.
Hell
you gotta
yeah.
get a little rasp to the voice.
If you throw
and you know exactly what I'm talking about.
If you throw and do it at the end too, it even feels a little bit, hell yeah, dude.
Yes. Yeah, it sounds like
it's like the little cherry on the sundae.
Yeah. Jake, what's the movie with Ashton Kutcher?
Dude, where's my car?
Yeah, my car, it reminds me of that.
What does mine say?
Dude, what was my tattoos? Yeah.
I don't remember what the other one says.
Sweet.
What does mine say?
Dude.
All right. What are some things that make you guys say, hell yeah, on the golf course?
Easy one to start us off. When you hit a shitty shot and your buddy says, you can drop by me.
Hell yeah.
Does that happen often?
No, but when it does, I hell yeah.
Well, especially, you know, you're playing with the right guy mm-hmm. at that point. When, I mean, that's your boy.
Yeah,
your boy doesn't want to see you struggle.
You're down bad. Your ball's in the shit. You don't want to go look for it. Just come drop by me.
You drop by me. You don't need to take a stroke.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. When you and your buddy get to a tee time and there were no randos booked with you on that tee time.
Hell yeah.
Let's go out for boys round, baby.
Even just playing a solo round. They let you go by yourself.
Hell yeah. The amount of times I'm on my way to a course thinking, I would want nothing more right now than just to play by myself. Like, I'd pay double a green fee to play by myself. I've even thought about buying out the other three tee times just to play by myself, because that's like damn near the only way you could do it these days.
Yeah.
Unless you know a guy.
And maybe a first tee time of the day, 6 a.m. in middle of June or July, whatever. But dude,
I'll hook you up, Ryan. I'll give you his number.
Okay. We'd love to have it.
Travis knows a guy.
I got connections.
Yeah.
Driving to a course with a like summer round with one of your best golfing buddies, and you get up to the tee and it's just you two. I fucking love that.
Hell yeah.
Mine is when you get the key for the golf cart from the guy at the, you know, pro shop or whatever, and you walk out there, the golf cart has a cooler attached to the side of it.
I don't even use it half the time because the beers just go directly to the cup holder, but it is nice to have the option.
Yeah. Yeah, especially if you get a six pack, which actually leads me into my next one, Jake. When you order two beers from the cart girl and she says, if you buy one more, you get a deal on them.
Hell yeah, dude. That's the same as like a bartender pouring you an extra one. They're just throwing you a bone.
Yeah.
Here's an extra beer.
Yeah. And it's like, hey, you could have made more money on just like selling me two, but instead you're going to sell me three for a discounted price. I'm taking that 100% of the time.
All day long.
I mean, this one's a basic ass one, but it fits the bill right now. When the bev cart girl has fantastic timing, when her cadence is on point,
Ryan thought you were going to say something else.
Everything led up to that. Until the M in time was said. Everything else led me into thinking that when the bev cart girl has great tits.
I mean, hell yeah. No, when she has fantastic timing, she shows up. Like every time you're about to get thirstier, there's an inch of your beer left and you see her cresting the hill towards your group. There's nothing better than when they have the bev cart girl on the correct cadence.
And yeah, when you know that her cart route is coming directly mm-hmm. to you, and it's not like a side route to maybe get to another hole and you got to wave her down, whatever. I know exactly what you're
feeling. Because there's sometimes you see the bev cart girl on hole two and then never again.
Yeah.
It's like, where did she go?
Also, when the bev cart girl knows, like, hey, I'm a little busy today. You might want to order a second round right now because I don't know when I'm going to get to you guys again.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
What a gal.
Hell yeah. Thanks for the heads up. Okay. When you play an entire round with all the shit in the back basket of your cart and nothing falls out.
Hell yeah. Or you don't forget it.
Or you don't forget anything in the back basket.
Yep.
That's huge for the program.
I'm a big time protein bar on the golf course or something like that. Having that little wrapper flipping around back there.
Oh yeah. That's annoying as shit. You gotta glove box that bad boy.
Yeah.
It's like it gets stuck in like a little fucking tornado around your basket.
Yeah, fucking wind around. Tunnel. When you get back to your truck after a round and you are able to like put your sandals or your regular shoes on.
Hell yeah, dude. Yeah.
Let the dogs breathe.
Oh, baby. Man. It's such a great feeling. You pop the socks off even.
Oh, my gosh.
You look at the disgusting tan line you just got from 18 holes.
Yes.
But it feels amazing.
The edge of your sock, a little bit of dirt.
The dirt line.
Yeah, the dirt line. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
In the woods, you find any expensive ball, Pro V1, Super Softs.
Hell yeah. That is the best feeling ever.
It's like, it's almost disappointing. Like you find a ball and it's like a cracked top flight and you're like, fuck.
Yeah.
But you pick one up and it's just a shiny Pro V1X and you will say, hell yeah. Right then and there.
Oh yeah. I'm probably not going to use that ball for the rest.
No.
I'm just going to put that in my bag and like just mentally find a better time to use it.
Yep.
I don't know why.
You got to save it.
Yeah, you got it for some like special occasion. Okay, well, if you're playing good, you're probably still going to lose balls. It's like, it is what it is. But getting backspin is a huge
hell yeah. Right. Backspin makes any shot look cool immediately.
Even if it lands, let's say it lands pin high and spins back 10 feet, like down on the downslope, comes back 15 feet.
Still looks sick.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like
I will claim backspin every time a ball rolls back towards me. Even if I hit the fucking side of a hill and it rolls, I'm like, look at that back.
Or even, you get up there and you like observe where your divot mark is.
Yep.
And then you see how far the ball spun back after that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my. It's such a good feeling.
You don't even
care where it went.
If I miss the green on like an approach shot and I'm in the bunker, always sucks. However, a freshly manicured, raked bunker.
Hell yeah. It is satisfying.
Yeah, We're talking raked and not like... I mean, sometimes they got the big grooves, I feel like people are using the wrong side of the rake sometimes. Like you can like get it nice with the spikes and then flip it over and then smooth it out with the other side.
It's like a Zen garden.
Yeah, it is like, yeah.
I don't know what that is.
You know those all bonsai trees?
They got like
the bunker itself is a...
Yeah, and then they go like in a circle from around the tree.
Yes.
And then everything, and then they smooth it all out at the end.
Dude, when it's crispy, and even though your ball might be in the bunker, but you know it went in there because it's just your ball trail going across the sand, and it's crispy.
Hell no. Fuck.
Hell no.
Fuck.
I fucking hate the sand.
When you think your ball went into the water hazard off the tee, but you get up to it and it's right on the edge.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. Dude. What a gift. Especially when it kind of dips down like a hill towards the water.
Yep.
And then it turns out the water is like 20 yards further than you thought it was going to be. Your ball's sitting there 5 yards off the bank.
Yep.
You're perfect. Hell yeah. The box of free tees on the first tee box.
Hell yeah.
Give me two handfuls of tees that I will never use.
I think I'm still going through the free tees I got from my buddy's country club I played at last summer.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking like I could damn near be a Marvel superhero if I were to double fist a handful of those with fucking spikes hanging all out my finger.
Wolverine hands.
Yeah. That's the point it's getting to when I see a free basket of tees.
There's no better feeling. Like, I don't need those tees.
No.
And 9 times out of 10, they're not the height of the tee that I use normally anyway, but I will take so many of them every time.
100%.
On that train, when the pro shop actually has dollar balls.
Yeah.
Oh, dollar balls are awesome.
Just the dollar ball bin in general is a hell yeah.
Hell yeah, dude.
Hell yeah.
Dude, because so many so many pro shops are like, it's going to be $1.50 now for a ball, or it's going to be,
I have a buck in my
four for five.
Yeah, I don't carry change. I have a dollar. I'll give you a dollar for the ball.
I hate
buck 50 is
like, I get it. I 100% get it. But when they separate the Pro V1s, they're like, the Pro V1s are $2. It's like, who the fuck are you?
Fuck off.
Yeah, put them in the regular bin. They're used.
Yeah. Or give that extra dollar to your high school kids' mowing lanes and shit like that. First tea time of the day.
Hell yeah, dude.
If you've never experienced first tea time of the day on like 6:30 a.m. on a summer morning,
you book the first tea time June 1st right now. If you're listening to this podcast, book ahead June 1st, first tea time of the day, whatever your local muni is.
It is magical.
It is great. If you get there when like still sunrise, like obviously in the summer, you're going to have to get there at like 4:30 in the morning if you want the true sunrise. But if you can get it where it's still, it's the best feeling. Birds are chirping. There's dew on the green, so you can get a free line. It's the best.
It's magical.
Yep. Hell yeah.
When you hit a ball into the woods and you pay your membership dues for that year, bounces back out in the fairway. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. I just put members bounces in general.
In general.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
You get a kick off a fucking clod of dirt in the middle of the fairway, centers you up a little bit. Hell yeah. You hit a rock next to the pond and it puts it back on dry land. Hell yeah. You fucking skull a wedge on the edge of the green and it hits the pin and drops 6 inches away.
Hell yeah.
Members bounces, baby. They're the fucking best.
Pay your dues. Because it's all going to come back and it's all going to come back. I mean, the world is just, it's a revolving circle. One bad thing happens. Well, one good thing is probably going to happen as well.
I have one thing that is technically a bad thing, but it makes me say hell yeah every time. When somebody blades an iron and it skips across the water, it doesn't kerplunk. It skips like five times and gets across. Hell yeah.
We should implement a rule to where like if you can get like at least five skips, you should get a free drop.
Yeah.
I'm with that. That's a great regular guy rule.
Because
you know how hard it is to do that?
Well, also, like we as men, we pride ourselves on being able to skip rocks really good. If you can do it with a circle ball and a club more than five times, that deserves something.
Yes. Yeah. This is a perfect example of it. What is cooler? A random dude getting a hole in one in a PGA event or Jon Rahm getting that hole in one, skipping it across the water in the Masters practice round.
I mean, that is the greatest hole in one, I think.
The greatest hole in one that didn't matter.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I'll remember that hole in one forever.
Everybody will. And they will play it before the Masters, which might I add is coming up very soon here. Yep. They will play that clip for the next 50 years.
Yeah, and I hope they do because it was fucking sweet. And
he did it on purpose. He didn't just blade it and be like, oh, fuck, that's a terrible shot, but I lucked out and got a hole in one. He did it on purpose.
Which is a blessing to all the guys like us because I've done this purely on accident, but I can just say that I was trying to Jon Rahm it from here on out for the rest of my life. Every time I blade an iron and it skips on the water, and even if it doesn't get across, I'm like, I was trying to Jon Rahm it. Thought it would be cool. Yeah.
And I guarantee if you went up to a pond and tried to do that, you couldn't.
Never.
It just happens by nature.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I'll run that past my playing partners. Hey, five or more skips, I'll give you a free drop.
Well, I'm saying right now, if we're playing together, I'm down for that rule.
Deal. We're all about making golf more enjoyable. Just come up with your own rules that are fun.
Tyler, you're 80 yards out next to water. Why are you grabbing your four iron right now?
Let me cook.
Somebody cooked here.
Another hell yeah. Playing your misses correctly. So I have a nasty hook.
Yep.
So I aim way to the right. And when that hook plays perfectly and I don't just hit it straight now because I'm playing to the right, it is a huge hell yeah for me. It's actually... Maybe not a hell yeah. It's more of a thank God.
Thank God that happened. Yeah, I mean, kind of in the same vein. When you blade an iron shot and it actually like turns out good.
Yeah,
it
gets like 200 yards of roll.
Yeah, yeah, just rolls out like maybe front edge of the green or back. Like, okay, if I would have hit a like a good iron shot, I probably still wouldn't have gotten that close. So we're going to take this 10 out of 10 days a week.
Or that's, look kind of like comes off looking like a stinger, does that little rise that stingers do.
Fucking A, dude.
Oh my.
Hell yeah. That's like one of my favorite golf sayings is, I've talked about it before on the podcast, is there's no pictures on a scorecard. That's why I love members bounces. Like, no one should ever feel bad about getting lucky.
No.
Because there's no pictures on a scorecard. Nobody cares how you got that three. They just see the three on the scorecard. Correct. They don't need to know that it bounced off a tree, then bounced off a rock, and then hit the pin before rolling off the green and stopped, and then you made a nice putt.
Correct.
Yeah. It doesn't matter that you didn't get there by skill. You still got there.
100%. Think about all the times that you've gotten unlucky too. Like your ball maybe should have bounced 50 or 20 yards further than it did, but it hit somebody's fairway divot and then kind of stopped right there. You know, like,
or that one time we were at Castleton and yours went into a fucking pothole that was like, they were doing the sprinkler. So they had a giant chunk of sod and Jake's just rested in front of the sod.
Yeah, I'm like, what the fuck do I do here?
Yeah. Cause you always remember. You remember the members bounces and the good bounces that you got, but you just tend to forget about all the shitty ones because there tends to be a lot more.
Well, yeah.
So appreciate the good bounces. Don't be mad that you hit a bad shot. Like, I had a bad shot, but I'm also middle fairway, 200 yards out.
You know?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
A lot more hell yeah's to go around. We should maybe.
We can bring it back.
Yeah.
We can just give you the hell yeah moment of the week.
Would love to see a hell yeah in video form. See, you see us trying to skip a ball across the water and we
do it.
Well, we don't do it. And then 40 balls later, we're just out of balls.
Guys, we have.
And then we got to go to the dollar ball bin.
We do have a pond at the office.
Like, we have a pond here. We can do that.
Fuck.
Like, and it's got enough to where we could skip it. Like, I think.
We got a turf mat. Don't got to. Ask me twice.
I don't have the technical skill to hit it that low on purpose, though.
We'll get on down slope.
I'll just use my kids' clubs. If I hit it, it is topped for sure.
Okay. Yeah, we'll go on a down slope, turf mat. Close that club face down, fucking ball away in the... put the ball like a foot behind your back foot.
Down slope, ball's a foot.
You're 6 inches from the ball in your swing. You're not anywhere close to it.
You're like, you shank it on the hosel, actually like deflects right at you and hits you in the fucking kneecap. Tom Kim, again, wrap it up. Let's get second, baby. Come on now. All right. That's all we got for the week. Tyler, you got to get to a dentist
point. I do. Got to get my fucking teeth
fixed.
Get
them fucking teeth grinded down. Get them veneers put in.
Yeah. Love you guys.
All right. Episodes 5 and 6, full swing next week.
Yes, sir.
And then the week after, we get into Ryder Cup episodes, boys, and they're fucking electric. I'm excited to hear what your take is on that whole situation.
I'm telling you right now, I couldn't be less excited for episode 4. Not a Fitzpatrick guy.
Episode 5.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Okay. We will see.
Anyway,
see
love you
next week. Love you.
Love you.
They pipe that the wrong way.
I'll call the clubhouse. We'll book another 18 for tomorrow.
Okay, they cheated on that. They fluffed their balls.
Yeah, no better time for the breakfast ball than now.